just sort of have to wait for the finger to drop.
Wait.
Hi, my name is Seagal Shoham, and this is Conflict Hotline. What you say next can change the world.
And I'm Newt Bailey. Seagal and I will be co-hosting the show today. Mickey Kashdan's away traveling this month. We have a couple of people in the studio with us, Mark Scruggs from San Francisco and Phoenix Soleil from Oakland.
Together, we're going to work on situations or conflicts and play them out here in the studio. Here's an example of a situation we might use.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Hey, Newt. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad that I've run into you, actually, because, you know, I've been doing these financial management classes in Oakland.
Yeah, how's it going?
Well, it's going well, but I'm only getting white people to come to the classes, right? And so I thought you could give me some advice on how to get more African-Americans to come.
You're kidding me, Newt.
No, what I do is really good, really important for the whole community, you know, so I don't...
Yeah, I agree. But why are you coming to me for advice about African-Americans? When you went to Lafayette, you didn't come to me.
Well, I mean, isn't it obvious? I mean...
No. What is it?
Okay, so does this look familiar? There's a situation here when they're trying to have a conversation. Tensions are escalating. In a moment, we're going to work with the situation and show how we can bring about a greater connection and a sense of mutual understanding between them. Hopefully have the conversation go a little bit smoother.
This is a call-in program about the common challenges that we all face in our relationships, at home and in the world. We're an all-volunteer effort with no budget. We're all affiliated with Bay Area Nonviolent Communication. You can call us from anywhere in the world at 510-433-0700 with any conflict you have in your life.
The conflicts might be situations
a
like...
A challenge in your love life. Or maybe a conflict you're having with your parents or your kids.
Could be maybe some tension in your community or a problem with one of your friends.
You might have a conflict with one of your housemates. Or the conflict might be internal, something between two sides of yourself.
Or it could be with your boss or a coworker.
Now let's see what happens when we bring some consciousness and skills to the situation we just looked at. So Mark, what you say next can change the world.
I can't believe you're asking me that.
I can't believe that you can't believe that I'm asking you that.
Look, I've gone to the best schools. I do a good job here. And the only thing you want to question me about is the African-American community and how you can get them in your classes?
Well, I'm not insulting you or anything. I'm just figuring that you know more than I do about it. That's all.
Yeah, right.
So, Mark, I'm guessing that you're pretty upset here.
Yeah, I am.
It's coming through in your tone of voice.
Yeah. I've worked with this guy for 8 years. This isn't the first time he's asked me this, but God, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
He never asks for my help in any other area of our work.
Yeah. So is it that you really want to be seen?
I'm seen.
But not in the way that you want.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what is it that you might say to him that might get that across?
Don't bother me.
Okay. So maybe we'll take a different track. Newt, I'm wondering if what you can say next can change the world and see if you can get in touch with what's most important to Mark.
So let me get this straight, man. If I ask you for help with something related to the African-American community, then you feel offended in some way. Is that true?
I just noticed, Newt, that you've never asked me about anything else. You don't ask me about all of the other aspects of our job.
So it's like, is it that you're wanting to know that you're getting respect for your expertise in all the areas of what we do?
Yeah, I do a good job. I get people in. People come to my classes that don't look like me.
Right, right. And so you just really want that to be understood, that this is, you know, all aspects of what we do are within your expertise and your skill, and you it's really troubling to you that I'm only asking you for help when I have a specific question about the African American community.
Yeah. It hurts.
It's painful when I do that.
Yeah, we've worked together for years, and I can't remember a time you've asked for my help because I was an expert in some area that we're working in. But you have asked me about this. How do I get more people of color into my classes?
Newt, how are you feeling hearing that?
I'm kind of a little bit crestfallen and sad about it, you know. Because I just, something about wanting to be conscious of how I'm interacting with other people, and I'm just so shocked that this, I didn't notice myself doing this, you know. And wanting to show my respect and my acknowledgement of Mark's skills, and to have a sort of comradeship in what we do. So just kind of shocked, a little bit shocked. Mm.
And I'm curious, Mark, how were you feeling when Newt was connecting with your experience?
I feel a little different. I think he might be starting to get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So you felt like your heart opened to him when he connected to how you were feeling?
Yeah, but you know, in a minute he can close it down again with this, you know, with a dumb comment.
Mm.
And the thing is, I know, you know, he's a good guy.
So there's a way in which what he's saying is building on top of all this experience you have.
Yeah.
Having conversations like this. I bet that makes it even harder for you to have some kind of patience or skill to engage with him about it.
When I hear that, I realize that it really doesn't have much to do with him.
Mm.
It is, I'm walking in the room with the whole baggage of stuff that has nothing to do with what you said.
So I'm curious, given that, if you want to practice what you might say next with having that realization.
Yeah. I don't know where to start.
Yeah, how about starting with how you feel when he asks you that?
I guess I feel sad. Mm. When that's the thing you're glad to see me about.
Mm. What would you want? Are you needing maybe trust?
I'd really like to hear what Newt, if he heard me.
Okay.
So you just feel really sad that I would be excited to talk to you about that, and it seems like only that topic. It's just really sad for you when that happens that way.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. I can see just how heavy that feels for you.
I feel tight right here. And it's partly because, you know, we've worked together for 8 years, and I know, I doubt there's any malice in your body, but.
So I want to pause here and talk a little bit about what I saw happen. So when I asked Newt to do, you know, to say what he might say might change the world, what he did was connect with what was most important to Mark. And there were several rounds where he said, where he connected, I don't remember the exact words. And I physically saw Mark calming down. And I saw your eyes get a little bit teary. Mm-hmm. And to me, there's a real difference between being angry, which is the way that you first approached it. It was my analysis. mm-hmm. and connecting with what's really most important to you. And what I saw there was a space where they could begin to have the conversation about what's really deep. And it's really different from the space of where you trigger each other and get really annoyed. Mm. So I'm curious about working it the other way as well. And just, we haven't finished this particular piece because Newt brought the question up for a particular purpose. And I want to get that purpose across as well. Are you open for that?
Sure.
So, I don't know, is there anything else that you want to say to me about it? Or?
I don't know, Newt. I'd just like to try to help you out. See if we can figure out what it is that might bring more people into your group.
Is that okay with you, or?
I'm really aware that it's not something about you and me. And I figure I need to do some work on it. But what you asked is reasonable. How can you get more people in the community to have an opportunity to know what you know?
So it sounds like, Mark, you're willing to help because you hear what's important to Newt. But it also sounds like maybe there's some other conversations to be had about your history and experience of being asked questions only because you're an African American.
Yeah. Thanks for hearing that. Yeah. So I'd like to make a request of you, Newt, that we take some time and talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like that too. I'd like to get more conscious about what it is that I'm doing, you know, and the what I'm giving off and what I'm not giving off, you know.
Yeah. And I'd like to be more conscious about how I respond.
All right. Let's do that.
So what we're tapping into here is a place where both of them are really interested in connecting and working together, especially in terms of creating a conscious way of having the discussion. And that's really what the skills that we teach help us bring about, is the sense of consciousness and care for both people in the relationship. And with that, I think we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back and do another situation.
Some honey, and it feels good in my mouth. Mama needs some loving and communion, but I'm left hanging too far south. So I breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire.
Hi, welcome back. We're here at the Conflict Hotline. I'd like to encourage you to give us a call anytime, 510-433-0700. And right now we're going to do another scenario here where there's going to be a little bit of conflict, I think. So let's hear what happens over here.
Oh, man. Phoenix, you won't believe what happened to me today. I was just parking and, you know, I guess I just didn't see it, but I dented the back of my car.
Oh my God, why did you do something so stupid?
Well, I didn't mean to do it. You know, it was raining and the other car had this weird thing and I couldn't see behind me. So it's not like I'm stupid.
Listen, I mean, you really need to be more careful with the stuff you do. I mean, that's like a miserable thing to do to your car.
All right, fine. See if I ever bring any troubles to you.
Hey, don't be so sensitive. I'm not the one who dented your car.
Okay. So this seems to be going nowhere fast. I'd love to see what happens when Phoenix says something which might change the world.
Phoenix, you won't believe what happened to me today. I totally dented my car. I just backed up into this thing and I couldn't even see it. And oh my God, it's like horrible.
So, wow, I mean, I'm just like, I just feel like, wait a minute, why did you do something like that? But.
What do you mean, why did I do something like that? It's not like I meant to, it's not like I go around trying to back my car up into things every day. Come on.
So, you're wishing that you had used better judgment with your car.
The whole thing is just a mess, you know? It's just like, now I'm gonna have to pay for the bill. You know how expensive those things are? I don't even remember what they're called. This thing, bumpers,
the
whatever.
Bumpers.
It's so, like half off, you know?
So I'm gonna jump in right here. I notice this is going differently than the last time.
I'm really trying to, like, now I'm just like, oh, my God, how could you be so stupid? That's what I'm thinking.
You were struggling a little bit there. Yeah. I saw that. It was like you really wanted to say that thing again, and yet you were trying to do something else. So could you say a little bit more about what was going on inside at that moment?
I guess I see her doing silly stuff all the time, and I feel like I just want her to take better care of her stuff because I really care for her, you know? And,
Okay, I gotta jump in.
Yeah.
You see me doing silly stuff all the time. Granted, I'm just clumsy. Sure, I like broke the pitcher yesterday and before that I locked myself out of the house, but you know.
I know, it's just like this constant thing with you.
It's just
like
that I'm being stupid.
So.
Help us out.
It seems like Sigal was listening into my private conversation with you there. So she got to hear the contents of your mind. What I was going to ask you was, did you feel like she was ready to hear this, that you have these thoughts about her doing silly things all the time? Is she ready, do you think, to hear that from you right now?
Ready to hear? But I feel like if I don't say something, she might just keep doing it. I guess I'm trying. What I'm hoping is that I can help her learn from these things, like, I mean, you know, tough love. It's about tough love.
I want to say something to our audience about this. We often have a lot of ideas about how we can help people, our friends, whoever it might be. And sometimes they're not quite ready for our suggestions, our tough love or our not so tough love, whatever, just yet. They maybe just want some space in which to say what they've got to say and just be heard a little bit before we go to our suggestions. And so I'm wondering whether or not you'd be willing, Phoenix, to just give that a try, to just kind of let her talk and just kind of let it out for a while before you go to your suggestions. Could you give that a try?
Yeah, okay.
You still get to say it, but.
All right. I guess she's touchy-feely and, you know.
I'll just pretend I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear it.
So yeah, I'm just totally annoyed, you know, now I have the bumper and the car to fix, plus the getting new keys, and it's just like, it's all overwhelming. It's totally overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, how was I supposed to know that there was a car there, anyway?
Help.
Well, what's going on in there at this moment that's making you want help?
Well, I'm trying this new skill. Listen, but she just asked me a question. How was I supposed to know where the car is? And what I want to say is, could you look? Could you pay more attention to what's happening around you? I mean,
What's your guess as to what's motivating her to ask you that question? Why? What's making her say to you, you know, How could I have seen, or whatever the question is, what's motivating her? What's she wanting deep down in her heart at this moment? What's she really wanting?
Okay, what is she wanting? Are you wanting acceptance?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't pay attention to things like that. You know, I'm like really good with paying attention to how people are feeling and talking and, you know, like I'm a body person, like stuff, cars, it's just not my world.
And I guess you'd like to live in a world where you were free from having to pay attention to these.
Oh, that would be amazing. And I'd never have to worry about crashing my car into things ever again.
Okay, all right, this is a problem, because then people like me have to rescue her. Okay, not say that, don't say that. Okay.
Well, I ask you the question again. Do you get the sense now that she might be more open to you expressing yourself about your concerns than she was before? I have that sense that she might be a little bit more. I mean, we can't be sure until you try it, but
okay.
Maybe you should give it a go.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm just not a things person, you know? Like, I'm a people's person. I'm an intuitive person. Like, cars, forget it.
Yeah. And, you know, you're a really sweet person to have. You're really funny. We have great fun. I'm a little concerned that I would like you to pay more attention to things going around, because I think your life would go so much smoother if you did.
And I'm going to jump in right now. Having said what's up for you, I suggest that, given that there's a risk that she might hear this as criticism, I would very quickly ask her for something that you want to hear back right now, like, how does she feel hearing what you just said, or what did she hear you say, or something that connects you right in this moment with what's happening.
So. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So, how did you feel hearing me say that?
Well, part of me was like, yeah, my life might go a little smoother that way. But the other part of me was like, you're just annoyed with me and want to fix the problem.
Is that wrong? That's how I love?
That's how you love, you said.
That's how you love.
I want you to be more able, you know, like I want you to do that massage practice that you want to start. Make some money, not always be, you know, struggling. I want everything to go right for you.
And I'm enjoying that, it seems to me at least, that there's a different quality of connection now than there was when we originally started this dialogue. And so far we've put a lot of the work on Phoenix to kind of generate connection, create connection, and she's been working hard to do that, as you've seen. So just to show that it doesn't all rest with just one person, you know, I'd love to have this go the other way around, and this time what Sigal says next could change the whole situation.
So Phoenix, when I tell you that I just crashed my car into something, mm-hmm. and the first thing you say to me is, why did you do that, you're so stupid? It's like, I close down. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Because in that moment, I just want some support. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't want you to close down. I definitely want you to, I care about our friendship. I guess it was my attempt to offer support, but if that's not working.
Well, I'm really relieved to hear that. And I hear that it was you trying to offer support.
Yeah.
And that you want to help me out. I don't think it's working to say that I'm stupid.
Who wants to hear I'm stupid? I mean,
And yet you say that a lot.
I'm jokey. I think you know that I don't. But now I realize you don't always know that I don't mean it.
I'm wanting to just have Sigal expose to us, the audience, not to Phoenix, what's going on inside her head at this precise moment. What it is that she's feeling right now. What it is that she's wanting right now.
Well, I'm feeling a little bit better because I have a sense that she's hearing me. And I just want to work together to find some other way that when I have an issue, that we can talk about it in some way.
Okay. So this is a process of self-connection, getting to understand what's going on for us. And there's ways of making that happen, even in a conversation as it flows. We're with the magic of TV and role play, we're able to extend the moment. But this is something within this skill, within this work, that you can use that skill, even when you're in the middle of a conversation. So what would you say next from then?
So,
actually, I have a question.
Yeah.
What would you want me to say?
Well, I like the way that Newt coached you earlier. It felt really good for me to just ask me questions about what's most important for me in that moment. You know, I crash my car into another car. It's like, I'm not ready to learn about how to do stuff differently. Like, at that point, I just need some, like, love, basically.
Yeah.
So what you said earlier worked for me. I think you said something like, oh, you're just overwhelmed and you want some acceptance or ease or something like that.
So that helped.
Yeah, totally.
Oh.
I barely even noticed that it helped because I just kept on talking. Like, it was such a flow.
Okay.
Okay, so how is this feeling for both of you at this moment?
I feel better because I now have a sense of what really works. And, you know, and I can see now that we're analyzing it to death that, you know, why what I earlier said, you know, could have been more. Could be better.
And as we're analyzing it to death, what's leaping out that's crystal clear for you?
Don't call people stupid.
Call people stupid. Okay. And there's the lesson, ladies and gentlemen, this week. To avoid conflict, don't call people stupid. What else? What do you do if you don't call people stupid? What do you do instead of them?
Well, to give them time and to really show them love when they come to you with a problem. And even if it's, you know, their fault or whatever's going on, to start with just helping them with getting out whatever pain they're in and just, yeah, I guess being kind. Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard a couple of times people say show them the love, and I'm guessing it's listening to them.
Yeah. Like, the focus is on listening, not like rushing in with what you should do.
Anything else from you, Sigar, before we move on from this scenario?
I like what she said. That it definitely felt better to me that way. So, yeah.
All right. And peace reigned in the kingdom. We're going to take a short break now, and we'll see you shortly after the break.
And the clay pot fell and broke today, but it does not matter anyway.
No collars?
No, it does.
Somebody get a collar.
Rupa, Rupa,
okay, so that's in the studio lounge.
So I
got you, and we're going to go into something.
It open and find the seed. Break the seed open and what do you see? Nothing. Oh, Rupa, Rupa, the form of it all. Thoughts in my mind come in, come in, come in.
And we're back. Thanks for joining us at Conflict Hotline. So we have another scenario now to work with, and Mark's going to tell us what happened to him recently.
Well, I've had this friend for a long time, and we've always gotten along really well. He's Jewish, and that isn't a big deal, but it's sort of important, I guess, to know. For my birthday, he put together a DVD and of comic routines. And I know he spent a lot of time, gave it to me. When I looked at it, there was a segment in there that ripped every group in America. It just went straight down the line. And it just really hurt. And I've seen him a dozen times since. I've never said anything to him other than thanks for putting all that work into it. I want to talk to him about it, but because I'm getting more and more distant from him.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's something that him giving you this CD really created a rift, and you're being able to.
I don't trust him anymore.
And you want to be able to have a conversation with him so that you can talk about it and get through it, it sounds like.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if I can't talk to him, a friend that I've had all these years, I don't see any hope for ever in the bigger community talking about it.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking to do is to practice you initiating that conversation with him. But before we go there, I'm wondering if anyone out there, the viewers, have a sense that have a similar thing where there's something that happened between you and someone else and you want to start a conversation about it, but you don't know how because there's so much going on for you. So what I want to do is practice showing Mark getting some support for having that conversation. I wouldn't want you to go into it without having talked about it with someone else and received some kind of support so that you then could practice what you say next that might change the world. So why don't you try calling up your friend Phoenix and seeing if you can get some empathy for the situation so you can have some clarity in bringing up that conversation.
Okay. Hey, Phoenix.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, but something's come up.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice.
I know you'll resonate with this. A friend of mine gave me a DVD with a couple of routines in it, comics, with racial and religious and ethnic slurs. And this is a good friend of mine. He's Jewish. And I don't know, it really hurt. I feel like I can't trust him anymore.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you're feeling pain because you just really want to believe that a friend would know you and be sensitive to you and be considerate about how you are in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's not funny stuff.
So you're really wishing you understood why he even put that on the DVD.
I wonder why he put it on there. You know, why he thought I would think it's funny. I mean, we've gone to NBC classes together. He knows I don't appreciate, you know, that kind of violence.
Wow. So I'm wondering if right now there's a difficulty in trusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, all of these years and it really doesn't know me.
How does it feel in your body?
Well, it feels tight. I mean, it's like, you know, I tighten up when I see him. And I notice I'm not calling, you know, and when I get calls, it's a week, 2 weeks before I return calls. And the more time there is, the less I want to talk to him.
Okay. So we have a sense of what this call would look like in terms of you calling and having someone really hear you. And I'm curious if you feel any more spaciousness around being able to have the conversation.
Uh,
Not that much.
No, because I don't know how to explain it to him. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that the jokes were that different than any that I've ever heard and hear all the time. Mm-hmm. It was just that it was such a surprise.
Do you want to practice maybe how you would ask him to get more information about why he put that in the DVD?
I don't see what could he say?
So it sounds like you're wondering what was going on for him in it. And that might be another way for us to go, which is, on the one hand, really checking in with, all right, what's happening for me in this moment? It's like Newt said earlier, we're in the studio, so we can really slow this down. And we can stop and say, all right, what's most important for Mark in this situation? Another way to do it is for Mark to wonder, what do you think he was trying to do in giving you that gift?
When I go to that question, I just, you know, think he's messing with me.
Yeah.
I can't get past that.
Yeah.
You know, that it's always been this way. I just didn't notice it.
Mm. Oh, so you're starting to distrust the whole relationship. Yeah. Like the whole past that you've had.
So I'm actually curious if Newt or Phoenix, if you have a sense of what his friend might have been trying to do in giving that gift.
Well, you know, I'm pretty tempted to just try being the friend and see what happens.
Go for it.
But before you go into it, I also want to present this possibility. Even if it is a situation where he meant it as a joke, maybe by you expressing what's going on inside of you, that might help with you just having at least closure and maybe the possibility of dialogue about it.
You know, when I hear you say that, what I'm scared most of is he's going to say, oh, you're too sensitive.
So let's see if he says that and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
How's it going? Good to see you again, man. How you enjoying the DVD? Stuff cracks me up. Yeah. I put the stuff, some of your favorites, you know, the Steve Martin thing in there, and that, you know, that thing, whatever that other thing is with the guy with the long hair. Yeah.
I really appreciated all of the work that you did, and you got all of my favorites and some.
Yeah.
And
put a few surprises in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
There were some surprises I didn't enjoy.
Well, you win some, you lose some, eh? But it was mainly good, wasn't it?
Yeah. The problem is that when I got to the middle of the tape, I actually haven't seen the rest.
Oh.
I mean, some of the things that were said in that section just, I can't believe you did that.
So, Mark, I'm getting this sense of total anger and outrage at his choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm wondering if you can really stretch yourself and tell him what is at the heart of it for you, and without a sense of him being blamed for what he was doing.
I can't trust you, Newt. Who can I trust?
I mean, of course you can trust me.
Well, why would you put that stuff in there?
Well, I was just joking around with the whole...
Joking around?
You know, it's like you and I, we're not that way, and it...
Yeah, right. Concentration camp jokes? Lynching jokes? Those aren't funny, Newt.
Well, I mean, it was...
So is there something that you want to hear back from Newt to see if he's getting what you're saying?
I don't want to hear him say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know if you can hear how shocked I was. I mean, there were some funny things, and I'm laughing away, and all of a sudden, boom.
So you just, you were totally shocked and taken by surprise, and whatever my intention was, you didn't get it. It was just completely horrifying.
Man, you sound like you're in NBC and just telling me, no, I don't, you're not getting this.
What am I not getting?
I want you to hear. I don't want to hear the formula, you know, uh-uh.
Well, what did I not get in the formula?
I didn't hear any connection to what I said. You were repeating it back, but you weren't there.
Well, I can see that you're horrified, and I can see that you're pissed off. Like, I can see it. What else do you want me to say, you know? I can see that. And I didn't intend for that to happen. That was not what I was trying to do.
Well, okay.
So what I would love for you to tell me right now is whether or not you're getting the sense now that I'm getting you or not.
Well, I think you're starting to connect to it. At least you have the intensity that I have.
Well, I can see that you're feeling intense about it.
I'm going to pause because I'm noticing a tone.
Yeah.
With Newt, and I just want you to give yourself a moment to just really self-connect, to make sure that you're coming from a place of.
Yeah,
really
I can talk about that actually.
Yeah.
And that's to be totally transparent about it. I want him to see, not just in my words, but in my tone, how I'm feeling at this moment. I want him to see my frustration with not being able to connect with him about it. And I want him to hear that in my tone as well as hear it in my words. And so I'm not doing anything to hide that from my tone. I'm very happy to expose how I'm feeling. Not with any blame towards him for it, but just because it's there and I want it to be known and seen.
And particularly I noticed you were doing that because Mark's response was, you're not understanding, this is formulaic, you know. I want to see who knew it is behind that. And so I'm guessing that also informed your choice.
Yeah, I was like, I was trying to show you what was going on, but it wasn't working. So let me show you more of what's going on.
Yeah.
And that worked.
Yeah, that worked.
The change in energy, absolutely. Okay, I can connect to that.
Yeah.
I just noticed that there sounded to me a little bit of blame and offensiveness, and I just wanted to make sure that you can self-connecting. Just to make sure that, because you can have intensity without that. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And my sense is that, although I didn't expose that to the audience or to you, that there was a moment of making a decision almost like, oh, he wants to see my humanness, and my humanness is frustration, and I want him to see that, but not with blame. Mm. No intention of blame.
Yeah, I didn't hear blame.
Okay.
I think that's a wonderful point to bring out, is that I could be in choice to hear blame. But in that particular moment, I did not. So we're connected.
Yeah, and I just want to own that was my perception, and I'm glad I just checked in.
Which is, I think, an important learning piece. Is that in any given moment, four people or four dozen people will be experiencing the same scene very differently.
Yeah, someone could have, just like we saw, Newt had some intensity in what he said. Mark didn't experience that in a way that made him get defensive. Mm-hmm. And had it been you, you may have.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's another piece of the conversation that needs to be looked at here, which is, I'm wondering, Mark, if you got a sense that Newt understood.
I got the sense that he definitely understood how upset I was by that. And I'm not sure where to go to, how to connect it beyond that to, I'm not even sure to what.
So it sounds like you want him to understand what you're upset about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And...
So can you try and tell him?
That our friendship has been a way of something I hold on to, that our differences don't have to always be conflicting. And when I got that from you, it was like, just it's not true. It's never been true. I'm wondering if you could let me know what you heard me say, because I'm not sure how clear that was.
You're doubting our entire friendship, that I was someone that you could rely on. You're doubting that was ever true because of me sending this thing to you.
Well, thank you for telling me that. It's when I hear that, it's like, no, I'm not doubting our entire friendship, but I'm doubting that we've really understood each other, especially in this arena.
Well, are we starting to understand each other now? Like right now, are we starting to understand each other? Because that's the sense that I'm getting, a little bit at least.
The fact that we're talking, that I've even been able to approach you with that, and that you've received it like this, that's a big start for me.
I'd like to pause and point out something that I think really helped this conversation go the way that it did. Just now, when you said what was important to you, and then you asked Newt to tell you back what he heard. And he reflected back, wow, you're doubting our entire relationship. Mm-hmm. And in that, I want to know from you, what was it like to have him say that?
It was like, no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you get a sense of connection, though, when you asked him to say back what he was hearing?
Absolutely, that he heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me that it allowed you to go even further in connecting in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I love using this tool of saying, would you tell me what you heard me say? Or would you tell me what you hear is important to me? As a way of seeing if the message that you were sending was really being received.
Yeah. Because it was, when he said that, you know, our whole relationship was like, well, no. Wow. And I sort of had a larger sense of why I want to be his friend, why I wanted to come to this conversation.
Mm-hmm. And it's clear to me that we've left out what was important to Newt, why mm-hmm. Newt sent you and what his intentions were in sending you that DVD with those clips on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm noticing that. That's in this role, I'm totally feeling like I want to be heard for why really I did that.
You know? So, Newt, I'm really curious now. How did you choose the comics that you put on that DVD?
I chose a lot of stuff that I know that you love, that we've laughed about. And then I came across that when I was searching, and I just... It is exhausting sometimes, man, to do the work that we do and to be doing stuff where we're trying to, you know, do social justice work and peace work and things like that. And sometimes I just get exhausted with it because it seems like nothing's changing sometimes. And sometimes I just want to laugh at the whole thing. Mm-hmm. No matter how horrifying it is, I just want to laugh at it. And I wanted to, I guess I thought maybe the same was true for you.
Wow. That's really kind of amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm curious. It sounds like you really were able to hear what was going on for Newt.
What I'm hearing is that he went to a lot of trouble to put stuff together that he knows I enjoy. And part of that was just the relationship we have as friends and co-workers, you know, in the work that we do, and knowing that sometimes we get so frustrated and so upset with where it's going. And so he just wanted a relief.
Yeah.
And thought I would enjoy it. Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
So it sounds like we have a caller on the line to give us another one of these situations. This is an okay moment to switch to that?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Thank you both.
So, Sean, are you on the line with us?
I am, hi.
Oh, hi. And you want to tell us where you're from?
I'm living in Oakland, California.
Great. So what's your situation?
I recently was having brunch with a college friend and a high school friend of hers, and they're both straight identified. I'm not. And I was...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. They're both what identified?
Oh, they're both straight identified.
Okay.
They're both heterosexual, and I'm not. And I was telling them about a date that I'd recently been on with a woman, and that we, in some respects, had chemistry. I was just sort of reviewing the evening I spent with her with them. And at one point, a joke was cracked about her not being attractive. And it took me a few days before I realized that my feelings had been hurt by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has to do with stereotypes that straight people have about non-heterosexually identified women dating women because they're not attracted to men. I sent this friend an email in which I kind of attempted to respond to their joke with a joke, but she responded to me by saying that my tone in the email was actually, it came across as passive-aggressive, and that if my feelings had been hurt, she would have appreciated me just being more honest about that. And so I've sometimes found with friends who are probably just poking fun that I'm not sure whether the appropriate response to a jokey comment from that person is to respond in kind, in a more humorous tone of voice, which can be cutting sometimes.
So is it that you want to practice being honest with that friend when they make that kind of joke?
And I've also found that when I've been honest with people, sometimes my tone is a little heavier than I intended to be, and maybe the other person experiences it as me blowing what was originally a joke out of proportion. So
you also don't want to make it too heavy, it sounds like.
I don't want to make it too heavy, and then also sometimes if I try to joke back, it's kind of obvious that I'm hurt, and my tone is sort of sarcastic. So I'm trying to find a way to communicate my hurt feelings without it coming across from the other person's point of view as accusatory, whether my tone is serious or humorous.
So let's, I think instead of playing the situation as it is now, let's, because we only have a few minutes left in the show, maybe Phoenix and I will just play this out in the way it might go with Newt giving in some input.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll just play you, Sean.
Okay.
Okay. Am I saying your name right?
Mm-hmm. You are, thank you.
Okay, great. So you want to make a joke for start me off?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this woman you're dating, is she...
Well, just, you've made the joke.
Yeah, so, I'm having a trouble.
Whoa, Phoenix, I'm a little... I know that was supposed to be a joke.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Oh.
And I'm a little confused and hurt by it. Because I think you don't get the world I live in. You know, it just really, it reminds me that we're, in some ways, we live in really different contexts. I'm curious how you feel hearing that.
I guess I'm a little startled. I meant it as a joke. I definitely didn't want to hurt your feelings. I definitely didn't want to do that.
Yeah, and you know, even this, like, I hear that you don't want to hurt my feelings. I don't want to make this into a really big deal, but in some ways I feel like this is something I'd like to talk to you about because it's happened more than once, you know? And I want to be honest, but I don't want to, like, have it be a huge big deal.
Yeah, because I kind of like being able to tease friends every once in a while. I guess what I want is you to have trust that, you know, I really care about you and that all this stuff is just, you know, it's like not have it be a big deal.
Yeah. I'm sad. I'm really sad hearing that, because it's like, I really want you to get what it's like to live in my shoes. You know, when you make a comment that's about the attractiveness of somebody else who I'm dating, it's like, wow, you really don't get me. I wonder if you understand what that's like for me.
Well, okay. I'm noticing in myself that I'm feeling really sad, because I definitely want to be a support to you, you know. And I'm hearing that what I said really affected you. So
I want to jump in right now and just we have very few minutes left, Sean, but I'd like to check whether or not anything that's happened so far is useful to you.
Actually, it did hit home a little bit, because when I talked it out with this friend of mine, and I sort of considered how I could have better expressed to her that my feelings were hurt, she did bring up the idea of trust. Mm. And so, I don't know, I thought that that the person who was playing her, that her usage of the word trust did come into play.
Mm. Right.
It rang true.
And I'm just going to check with our role players here. Any insight that you got, Sigal, playing Sean?
That it was really tricky for me to balance how much I wanted to just have a friendship and have it be okay, but also that it was kind of a rift, like that she didn't get what world I live in. And I wanted to, if I had time, I would have really wanted to go further into that to figure out how we can make it light, but also a way of understanding each other in some way.
So in other words, we want you to call at the start of next month's show so we can spend longer with it.
Do we have... Okay.
It looks like we're coming to the end of our time together. Thank you so much, Sean, for calling, and no joke, call back next month.
Okay. I'm really sorry we didn't have more time.
That's great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
So I'm happy about the way our show went today. I liked this particular thing of asking what people heard to make sure that the connection was made.
Right. And I really liked the idea of matching someone's energy, actually kind of getting how they are, you know?
Yeah. So if you liked what you saw today and you want to learn more, please call us. Our organization is Bay Area Nonviolent Communication, or check our website. There's plenty of opportunities to train with me or Newt or a dozen other trainers.
Also, we want to hear your feedback. We continue to experiment with the format and the content of the show each month. So please send us your comments or scenarios at conflicthotline@baynbc.org.
Before we go, we want to thank the cast and the crew and everyone on the production. All of you are volunteers. Thanks for BTE. Good night.
And thank you to our caller. And we hope you'll join us again the first Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m.
Breathe
until then, I'm Newt Bailey.
To you. And I'm Sigal Shah.
And the next breath is for all the people who can relate to me and you. You cannot see eye to eye. Won't you step up with me and try? Drop the fences down. Find the common ground. Take a deep breath. I'm here to free you, yeah, enemy.